Hello everyone, and welcome to Nonlinear Narratives, a CNLS audio memory. In this audio series, we explore the stories behind research and the minds who make it possible. I'm your host, Alejandro Cárdenas Avendaño, and in this episode, Jeremy Lilly will share their journey in science and discuss their academic path by answering a few questions. Whether you are a science enthusiast, a curious mind, or thinking about pursuing a research career, you are in the right place. Let us begin. Why did you become a scientist?
Coming out of undergrad and going into grad school, I wasn't sure what I wanted to do with my degree in the long term. But I was really fortunate that I had the opportunity in grad school to come work with the climate modeling folks here at Los Alamos. It was in this space that I realized that the career path of being a research scientist might be something that I want to pursue. Getting to work in a fundamentally collaborative environment at the intersection between some like really interesting mathematics and powerful computation resources on problems that are both, you know, interesting to tackle and the solutions to which, you know, benefit hopefully everyone. All of these things together really appealed to me and made me see that this was a path that I wanted to pursue.
What is your academic path?
I did both my undergrad and grad school actually at the same university, Oregon State University in Corvallis, Oregon. For my undergrad, I did a major in mathematics with a minor in computer science. And then I earned my PhD also in mathematics with a focus on numerical methods. My computer science minor coming in very handy for that type of study.
What was the topic of your PhD research?
Like I mentioned before, when I was in grad school, I had the opportunity to work with the climate modeling folks here at Los Alamos. This was through the Parallel Computing Summer School and some other DOE and NSF related programs later. The work that we did was in the context of the Energy Exascale Earth System Model, or E3SM. This is a global climate model that's being developed in part here at Los Alamos, but by DOE more generally. My work was on some custom time integration schemes that were specially tuned for the ocean and atmosphere components of E3SM. An important part of these two components of the model was that they both use unstructured meshes of variable resolution. This is so you can have certain parts of the globe that you might care about more be highly resolved, while parts that maybe you care a little bit less about are treated with a lower resolution just to save on computational costs. A challenge with these variable resolution grids is that the CFL condition places a restriction on the size of the time step that you can take that depends on the grid size. So normally, a smaller grid size, even just on one small part of the mesh, means you have to take a small time step everywhere on the mesh, which gets really expensive in large-scale simulations. One way to deal with this is with something called a local time-stepping method, which allows you to take time steps of different sizes depending on local resolution. So small time steps where you need to take small time steps, and large ones where you can get away with them. What we did was write a brand new local time-stepping scheme that was optimized for the shallow water equations and optimized in a CFL sense. Essentially, this means that we specifically tuned our scheme to take time steps as large as possible for the types of geophysical flows that are relevant to ocean and atmosphere modeling. We tested our scheme in the ocean component of E3SM. We brought a number of like numerical tricks together to get the model to run faster. And in the end, we got a speed up of over 10x in a real world simulation of Hurricane Sandy, while getting a solution that was equivalent to that generated by the standard schemes. We were also able to prove that our new scheme, which we called FBLTS, was second order in time everywhere on the mesh and exactly conserving of both mass and vorticity. This was a really, really great project, and I'm very grateful to all my collaborators for helping make it successful.
What do you do at the lab?
I'm a postdoc in CCS2, which is computational physics and methods, and of course, CNLS. Currently, I'm working on two projects. In the first, I'm using a phase field model that was written here at the lab that's called TUSIS to look at microstructure development in certain metallic alloys as you vary temperature and the rate at which those alloys are cooled. In the second project, I'm again working in the context of geophysical fluids like I did in grad school, but the problem we're trying to solve is pretty fundamentally different. Our goal here is to apply a certain tool that comes from the quantum physics space called TensorTrain to the geophysical fluid space. The central idea is that you have a tensor, which in this context you can think of as just a multi-dimensional array, a tensor that's very, very large and has high dimension. You can use the TensorTrain representation of this tensor to effectively represent it as a series of low dimensional tensors. Effectively, it lets you take a very, very large problem and project it down into a lower dimensional space. But the most important part of that being that once you're in the lower dimensional tensor train space, you can still do all of the numerical operations that you need to do to advance your model state forward in time without actually reconstructing the full tensor ever again. I've been part of work that's shown that this can lead to speedups of more than 120x. In shallow water type flows that are relevant to geophysical fluids. Our current challenge is to extend these methods to the types of domains that we care about for E3SM, which means spherical, unstructured grids. Because the mesh itself is unstructured, you have to make choices about how the data that lives on that mesh is initially transformed into a tensor before TensorTrain is ever applied. And the choices that you make here have a massive effect on performance.
What have been the biggest challenges you have faced as a scientist?
I think that's something that I struggle with as a scientist. And, you know, I think everybody probably struggles with this to some extent. But something that I struggle with is that feeling that, you know, because, you know, you're working in such an advanced space with such an advanced degree that you should, like, kind of know everything, right? There's this kind of stereotypical PhD researcher archetype that kind of exists in society, and that can be a very intimidating archetype to try to have to, you know, emulate. But of course, the point is not to emulate that. We work in an environment here that is meant to be fundamentally collaborative, right? Because not everybody knows everything. So it's everybody working together with their own little kind of corner of expertise, helping out others fill in the gaps wherever needed.
Any advice to your younger self?
A piece of advice I would give to my younger self, and this is kind of a small thing, but that piece of advice would be to go out and attend talks and seminars that are, you know, potentially very outside, you know, their wheelhouse, just because there's a lot of interesting stuff out there, and you don't necessarily have to be an expert on it to appreciate the different types of work that people are doing, and it can be beneficial to see the breadth of the different types of things that are being done, and can even help inspire you in your own work.
Thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your journey, your research, and your wisdom. We also thank Andrea Lopera for producing this episode. And that's it for today's episode of Nonlinear Narratives, a CNLS audio memory. The Center for Nonlinear Studies, CNLS, is part of the Laboratory's Theoretical Division and focuses on research related to nonlinear and complex system phenomena. CNLS was formed in October 1980. If you would like to know more, please visit our webpage at cnls.lanl.gov. Thank you all for listening.